the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 10 minutes into hour three. Fell behind a little bit. Andy Serling back home in New York, getting ready for the start of the Belmont Fall Championship meet. And there'll be some major, major racing and ramifications. I think we're already counting down to the champagne, Andy. Good morning.
I'm just counting down to the end of that song.
Didn't
we have like a come to Jesus discussion about you and the music that you play like four times too long?
That was not
something
four times
that
too
something
long.
That was something that was reiterated without my prodding by others who were guests on your show.
I don't want to give them up, but
one of them works with me.
Ooh, okay. Wait a minute.
Maybe there's more people that work with me that find it annoying. Anyway, I'm sure. What are you saying?
I can't wait.
Maybe that's
champagne.
Why you're in the lane today, because you're playing every person in like a minute too long with the song.
You're not going to win friends with this because people love the music.
I'm sorry. Just glad if I appear to be looking to win friends.
Andy's going to write.
I think among your guests, I'm winning friends.
How to lose friends and alienate people. Oh my God. Well, I don't want to bury the lead and not talk about the end of the meet, but I got to tell you, between Basin and Greenlight Go and Gouverneur Morris and everything else, how is the Champagne not going to be one of the most anticipated races of the fall?
Well, I mean, it depends where people go, right? I mean, some will go to Keeneland as well, right? So
that all seems dependent on one turn versus two turn preferences, mm-hmm. timing, you know?
I had a trainer recently tell me that he shipped a horse. He thought the horse would do well around one turn. The race turned out to be two turns. The horse won. I've never heard, you know, one turn, two turn is honestly becoming one of the most ridiculous things in racing. There probably are scenarios and horses where one turn is preferable. But in general, you know what the most important thing is?
Speed.
The actual distance of the race.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, seriously, it's way too much is made of it. There are situations and maybe races that rate to play out in a manner, one way or another, that maybe a course is more conducive to. But overall, it's become incredibly overused.
I think in the 2-year-old context, though, Andy, I think it's an experience thing. It's just you know, spoon feeding, force feeding. I don't know.
I guess they could probably gallop around two turns too, right?
They can't. Yes, I mean,
it becomes a bit of a overblown. It's like a lot of things in racing. It's overblown. I'm not saying that it's not. It can't be a factor, and it can't be a discussion. But I think in general, it's overused. If a horse can't get a mile in a 16th, not getting it around one turn or two turns. Arguably, it's more demanding around one turn. Faster pace, right?
Yes.
In the second quarter, around a mile in a 16th at Belmont Park, the second quarter is going to heat up in a way it's not going to in a two-turn race.
Fair point.
You know, so there are pluses and minuses, but I think in general, people go overboard. I mean, it's fine if they want to go to Keeneland and run the race, want to do that, but,
Help me with one determination on making this, this element. Was this a good point or a great point?
The meter. I like three techniques that won on Saturday for Jeremiah as well.
Yep.
Of course, that Bill Parcells owns. I mean, you know, I give a lot of credit to Jose Ortiz because when that horse ran fifth, people are going to blame him for just sort of sitting there as the horse was getting shuffled back, and that would have been unfair. And you know, you got to be result-oriented sometimes the other way. At the end of the day, Jose sat chilly on the horse instead of panicking when things were just blowing up in his face, and it wasn't his fault. And sometimes you get bad trips, and it's not a rider's fault, in fact, quite often. And that horse, instead of, you know, Jose reacting and doing something detrimental, he just had confidence in the horse and sort of weighed and weighed and weighed. He got shuffled back to last. And then when he was able to get him out in the clear, boy, did he deliver. That horse is good. Well, I think maybe that's, you know, a good analogy to Jose's meet, where, you know, he made a lot of right decisions. That's how he won the riding title.
We finished, I mean, between, obviously, with Greenlight Go passing and waiting for the Champagne, it changed the complexion of the hopeful considerably. But we also saw, a very promising Pletcher Firster. That Gouverneur Morris came in, helped everybody on the Empire Six, get started, on a narrow, I thought, opportunity, but. What'd you make of that performance? I know it's a wet track.
Well, I mean, the horse looked great. The horse lived up to its billing. You know, it got a solid figure of 83. It's probably a horse that, I mean, you would hope and think would probably improve with distance. So they're 5.5 furlongs on this loppy track. What more can you ask for? Horse was going to win by 20 and run 100 buyer. So, no, I thought the horse was terrific. Listen, I thought the meet ended up with seeing a number of good-looking 2-year-old Shook had that nice-looking first-time starter on Sunday that won.
Alandra, the filly.
Yeah, and beat the Brissette horse that took so much money in the figure of speech race that didn't run well. but ran better, and that maiden race came up faster than the spinaway. So, yeah, you know, I think one of the things this meet lacked were overly impressive two-year-old fillies, even maiden breakers. We really haven't seen any particularly quick-looking two-year-old fillies. I think Shook's horse, while wasn't that, you know, didn't get a big fig, I think he got like a 75 buyer, you know, a horse that they were interviewing his son after the race, I think Maggie was, and he was saying that they hadn't really expected the horse to win. So, considering Shook is not a trainer who cranks them up for their first starts, the horse you could easily expect to improve, and I would imagine they'd be pointing towards towards the Frisette with her. Why not? And if she improves, she could be a very nice horse. So look forward to seeing her. But I thought we didn't, you know, I thought the Colts, we saw some better horses. We didn't see any, you know, sort of super, super fast races by the Colts, but we saw a lot of promising horses, and Basin ran very well.
You know, I'll give you one. I'll give you one two-year-old, and I know it's out of the context of the, you know, of the main track. I thought that Sparkly Sky.
Yeah, it was a funny race. Maybe. But if you thought he was good, I mean.
That's a good group, that filly. I thought
trounced by Crystalline.
Well, everybody was trounced by Crystalline, right?
Well, I mean, she won by a neck in her next start or a head. So
well, I'm going back to the
right,
to the debut.
Saying, you know, maybe she ran. It was a very strange race, but the horse wore out. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really look at the race that carefully, but obviously she's promising.
Well, and Tom,
her horses
so,
are. Yeah.
On the turf, actually, Todd also had that the sibling to Silentio. No word on Saturday, I thought was good.
The Folder Funchio, yeah.
Yes.
Got a very good trip. He ran that horse, I agree. I didn't look to see what kind of figs those races got, but that horse did run well.
77.
No, that's fast. It's a big number for a two-year-old filly first time out.
Yep.
For
Sparkle.
Yeah, Todd closed the meet out very, very strong. Some good-looking two-year-olds, especially as the meet wore down.
Definitely.
I mean, Jeremiah Engelhardt obviously dominated a lot of the two-year-old maiden races with a lot of wins with two-year-olds. I think the only one that came back was the Risky Mischief for the horse. And obviously, she didn't run well in the spinaway. Spinaway?
Mm-hmm.
Hopeful. Spinaway, yeah. We'll see how they do coming back. I'm very interested in three technique. Yeah, that horse, Munaki, the one the other day, looked very good as well.
Yeah. Is that a state bred? That's a state bred, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing with those horses, they have to come back and run well at subsequent starts. I think it seems to me, in watching racing, one of the hardest things to do is to get two-year-olds that are impressive in their debuts to go forward. You know, he put up that Asmussen stat where he's now, after Godzilla and the horse in the rail, they ran badly. So I have no idea why Gozo was an overwhelming favorite in that race. Where those horses are, he's now 0-15 with debut-winning two-year-olds making their second starts in greatest stakes and dirt sprints. And don't forget, it was a third-time starter. A lot of short prices in there.
Yeah,
the others didn't run badly, but they have not come back and run as well in their second starts. And it's not a knock on the barn as much as I think a general concept that I listen, you could ask trainers this question. I'm not a trainer, but from my vantage point, it seems like one of the hardest things to do is get impressive maiden winners to come back in their second start and run as well, if not better. Two-year-olds.
Yeah, agreed. Just looking at some of the other weekend results. Let's talk about the feature. Let's talk about I had Don Little Jr. on yesterday. We had a wonderful talk about Preservationist and the way Jimmy's handled him, and you know, after the quirky excuses that were kind of laid out regarding his Whitney effort.
What was quirky about them?
He had a bit of a studdish issue around the barn that was. There was a filly.
I think the issue was that he probably got a, in retrospect, a poor ride. And I think Junior agreed with that. I don't want to blame him because he gave him a much better than great ride in the Woodward. He might have given him the best ride of the meet. I think he said afterwards that he regretted the decision he made to be so aggressive. I think in getting aggressive in there and ended up being hunted by McKenzie, who may have run the best dirt race we've seen all year, You know, he put himself in a predicament that was unwinnable and didn't really run that badly in retrospect. So to me, as somebody who believes in the dynamics of trips and racing, I think that Preservation's performance in the Whitney was actually good, much better than it may have looked at first glance. It was really just a question of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this race, they were more patient with him, and obviously faced McKenzie, which didn't hurt either, but you know, he got the right trip, and he showed that his Suburban wasn't just sort of a fluke on a day the rail was the place to be, that he's a good horse, and looking forward to seeing him going forward. I was glad to see Jimmy get the win with him.
Well, Jimmy's second, that's his second Woodward in maybe, what, 4 years? When was Shaman Ghost?
Yeah,
16,
I think. Al the Time was a three-year-old because Al the Time ran the last race that day in his second career start. So, it was 3 years ago.
How impressed were you with Mississippi?
Well, I don't know. I would say impressed. Some ride by Zoell. Because he managed to make it up into the backstretch without losing position on the inside, then splitting horse in the stretch. She's a horse that had run well in her starts in 2018 and had run poorly over there in 19. Now, one of them was on a very heavy course, but you have to think they may have shipped over here believing they wanted to use Lasix and getting a firmer course, and it worked out. Grand Motion, I mean, I don't think there's any trainer that has better numbers with European shippers on the turf than he does. He is exceptional. It's just amazing. For a long time, Graham has been outstanding with European shippers.
Yep.
You know, you go back to Main Sequence, winning the United Nations first time for Graham. And his stats were phenomenal going to that. And that was, believe it or not, 5 years ago. And his stats are still phenomenal. So he's got at least 10 years worth of exceedingly strong stats with Europeans coming over here. It's not random when that happens.
No, and he explained yesterday with us, some of the backstory that she kind of was falling apart as the season was going on in Europe, and David Simcott and Andrew Stone, they've and three of them have worked together on other imports, but boy, this was a good way to debut in North America. A lot of opportunity for her.
Speaking of David Simcock, he may have that that Jockey Club Derby field over a barrel with Spanish Moon for Team Valor and Earl Mack on Saturday. He runs back to his last couple races. Good luck to them beating him. And they, you know, he was 12-1 for the Irish Ledger. They chose to come here instead, and obviously, you know, Earl Mack's a board member at Naira. Taking advantage of this million-dollar race where he's going to be at least 12-1. And simply put, he runs his last race. He's winning. He's just winning. He's just beating his horses. He's got a layover, I think, in that field.
How about that?
And Simcock has great numbers. You know, he's 4-11, actually, in North America over the last 5 years. I think he's won in Woodbine. Mostly the race has been Woodbine, but he won the Senior International. He won the Woodbine Mile. So he knows how to ship over here and win.
I just noticed looking at I printed the PPs this morning.
The big of you.
Vinny Viola bred this horse.
Yeah, Vinny personally? It says St. Elias.
St. Elias.
He might be Vinny Viola. He might be thinking, I wish I hadn't sold that horse.
Exactly. That's my suggestion. He was a modest enough purchase, $125,000.
Yeah. I had forgotten about this horse. This horse was in that synthetic Kentucky Derby thing. It's really nice. They run.
Oh, that's right. The road. Stuff. Yeah. They created at Kempton.
Yeah. Well, that's always
sense.
A race that really brightens up an early March morning, you know?
Well, we'll transition to Belmont in a second. Some final Saratoga thoughts. Give out your thank yous and acknowledgments.
I think one of the things that made it a really successful beating was the sort of minimal amount of Steve Bick. I think the fact that I barely saw him for 2 months contributed. not my well-being, but the well-being of so many others. So I want to thank you for drumming up
for going blind.
Story. There's one of the Spalding Gray monologues. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the Spalding Gray monologues.
Sure.
Being sitting in Cambodia about his experiences, starting somewhat with maybe the Killing Fields, which, by the way, I just watched on HBO On Demand. I don't think I've seen it in a long time, but also, I don't know, there's so many of them. The Spalding Gray monologues are great. And a lot of them were filmed by Demme. I used to see him at Lincoln Center. But one of them is very much about having a macular pucker. That's why, when you told me about your supposed eye situation, which I have no confirmation actually took place, like the moon landing.
Well,
like
actually,
the moon landing.
Yes, it's a lot like that.
It actually happened. Excuse me.
Well, the simulation, you wouldn't believe what a nice job we did in the kitchen of recreating an operating room for the photos. Tina, that was
the operating room photos?
Yeah,
really?
the Clockwork Orange.
Are there any Junior Mints involved?
there's been a several Junior Mint references, actually.
I think a couple of things contributed to the meet being as successful as it was. From the standpoint, while there was some extreme weather, and that weather was sort of memorable in its remarkableness, for lack of a better word or an actual word, we didn't have extended bad weather. You know, those storms blew in and blew out.
Sure.
Whereas last year there was extended bad and predicted extended bad weather. And I think when you get those situations, it has a deleterious effect over time where people just get frustrated and they say, I'm just done. You know, I'm done looking at these cards and having them rained off. So we didn't have that in Saratoga. So there was, I mean, for me, I can feel it in the work I do. I just didn't have days where I had to make dirt and turf picks, right? So I think that's something that's just sort of like it's insidious, right? Weather's insidious when it gets bad over periods of time. So I think that's one of the things that contributed. And the racing was good. You know, the numbers, field size went down slightly because we had the scratches on closing day. But the reality was that by racing 5 days a week, but also the one cancellation, it sort of spread the meat out as well. It just sort of helped the overall quality of the racing. And while we had, you know, a day here and there where it wasn't great, for the most part, the racing was very good. And people got to the point where they were just sort of counting on the racing being good, track being fast, on the turf, and it just builds momentum.
Yeah.
And we didn't really have anything to seriously disrupt our momentum. One day isn't going to disrupt your momentum, you know, here and there. So we've got great fans. We have a great product in Saratoga, right? The brand is super strong. So it all worked together for things to go well. And next year, when the weather isn't as good, we'll be the same idiots running it, right? So you're smart when things go well. And we do a lot of things to make things good, but at the end of the day, you need cooperation from things you can't control. And I think in a lot of ways, it works in our favor this year. I think it's foolish for us to take a lot of credit for things because they can just as easily go bad through no fault of our own, and we're not going to sit here and stamp our feet and say, but we did everything right. We did the best we can. And a lot of people work really, really hard to make things go well in Saratoga, and it's all justified. When you walk around and you talk to people who couldn't be nicer, and you get a feeling walking around Saratoga, whether it's the track or in town, that people are really enjoying themselves. And in a world gone mad, where there's so much anger, much of it justified, to be able to spend 2 months in Saratoga where people genuinely seem to be happy and enjoying themselves, that doesn't suck, you know? So to me, that's the thing that's so special in Saratoga, the factors that combined to get a whole lot of people having fun.
No, absolutely. I mean, the atmosphere just...
Right, we do all this stuff, and it's people aren't enjoying themselves and aren't enjoying it,
yep,
then what's the point? And I know you can read some complaining on the internet. They're not the people there. The people there are not complaining. I mean, obviously, things don't always go perfectly, and everybody doesn't have a perfect time. For a dramatically large percentage of people, they come to Saratoga, and it's fun.
Yeah.
And what more can you ask for, right?
That's it. I mean, it's
and that's
a ritual.
We're in the entertainment business, right? There's a lot going on, but we also are trying to create a product that people come and enjoy. And boy, do they enjoy Saratoga. And the whole town. It's not just us. It's the whole town. It's the beauty of the town. It's restaurants, bars, you know, businesses, just, you know, Broadway, everything. It's just a great place to be. And my mom and I would walk down Broadway on a lot of Mondays and Tuesdays. And it's just a great place to be.
No argument. I came here and made the decision, you know, myself to be in the region, you know, when I had the opportunity to come back to the U.S. and
Right. It's hard to regret living up in upstate New York. It's great up there.
Yeah,
a little dark and cold in the winter, but you're never home anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Tina's with her other family.
Before we switch to Belmont, I'm curious if you have any thoughts. There's a terrific piece written by our man Rocky, Thorograph. Rocky is known as Math Capper. He wrote a really interesting thing that I'll send to you, Andy, that you'll love, kind of analyzing in advance the expectations for the Empire Six force out versus the late pick five. And I'm just curious, you know, what the experience was and what you heard about, you know, how people viewed, you know, the way the thing was accepted and, you know, the decision-making
process. I don't pay any attention to the Empire Six. I'm guessing I heard some things that the payoffs of the pick five were better than they were in the Empire Six. I don't think that's surprising. If you really think about it and you understand the nature of the two pools, obviously a lot of people singled Pletcher in the first leg.
Right.
But, you know, I think one of the disappointments when you have those big carryovers, when you create those situations, is I always root for them to chalk out. So everybody who plays a small amount has a chance to win, or relatively chalk out. Obviously, that did not happen on Monday. I think it's a very big discussion about, you know, where the money goes, where the distribution of the money goes. You know, what effect one pool has on another pool. I think it's a very big discussion that I'm not really going to have now. It's too long and too broad. Wouldn't be fair for me to just sort of opine on it. You know, sort of well documented where I stand on these jackpot bets.
Yeah, they've managed to weasel their way in.
I think the pick five and pick four are great. I think the pick five and pick four are great. You got a 15% pick five carryover takeout in the last five races. So, you know, teach their own. You know, people have to figure out to play what they want to play.
Well, they're going to play Belmont. We're going to shift our attention. And, boy, these first two cards, nothing wrong with the way these shaped up. Gets us off to a running start.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be running eight races during the week. We start at 3 o'clock. I don't know how long, you know, when you know, darkness starts coming, if we'll have to go to 7. I don't really know what the plans are with that. But we'll be running, I think, 11 race cards on Saturdays and 10 on Sundays. To sort of compensate for that, we'll start at 1 o'clock for those, but 3 o'clock close during the week with the construction out there. And we'll see what Belmont looks like. You know, I haven't been there since July, but yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting back and seeing the racing. Interesting stake on Friday, the Christie Cat, with a number of Europeans in there as well. And then we have the final legs for the Turf Triple races on Saturday, where Europeans could be dominant. I mean, they could run 1, 2, 3 in that one for fillies. There's at least two, if not three, that may just be better than our horses. We'll see. I mean, distance being a big factor, and I think they have distance. At least two of them have distance very much in their favor. And I point out the horse on Saturday that, the one from the males, or the Derby, that horse looks pretty dominant, assuming he shows up. And you have the first two leg winners. I think Henley's Joy will be a little more forwardly placed. And, Karen Force, trying to blue will try to wire the field. And we'll see. Digital Age is going to kind of go a mile and a half. We'll see. His pedigree is a little iffy at that distance, but he's obviously talented enough to be a factor. But I think all of them are in a lot of trouble if Spanish Mission shows up with anything like his better race.
Yeah, it's an entertaining Saturday opening things up. And, of course, the renamed Temperance Hill as well. That came up with a nice big group going a mile and a half.
Yeah, I like horses in there. I like Realm.
Let's take a look at...
Was that the renamed Temperance Hill?
Yes.
Is that quite a name? The Grand Prix du Jockey Club?
Invitational.
Well, you know how those invitationals go.
Everybody's invited. If you want to come, you get an invitation. The Grand Prix American Jockey Club Invitational. And Highland Sky, suddenly a dirt horse.
Well,
why not?
Right? Off the turf race makes him a dirt horse, but why not? Why not take a shot here?
I agree. And, you know, Barkley, you mentioned Realm. He's got Realm in here and Highland Sky. And we're waiting for Barkley to run back that Sakatoga horse, right?
Yeah, I think, did he have a bit of a shin or something, which is why he didn't run.
Oh, does he? Okay.
I thought I heard that.
Okay.
I could be wrong. But I think they're hopeful to make the New York Red races this fall.
Oh, at the end of October.
It'll be bad for his competition.
Yeah.
Or even maybe a prep to it. Wow, was he good? What was his name again?
Tis something. Tis the slam. Tis a slam. Tis a slam.
Tis a problem for the horse to run against him.
but
he was good. Yeah, no, you know what? He might have been the most impressive 2-year-old winner of the meet.
And he kind of got paved over for whatever reason. It just was sort of.
It's a New York Red race. People just didn't notice as much.
Maybe.
My God, was he good?
Yeah.
He got a big fig, too, right? He only got 90 or something?
Yes.
Yeah, probably the fastest 2-year-old fig we had in New York so far this year, right?
Yeah, this was, I got this wrong. I got to go look
what?
It up.
No, no, I think you got an idea. Right?
No, not the fig. I got the name wrong. I got the name wrong.
It's, well, get it together, Steve.
I know. It's...
You're better off being mean, just admitting you don't know the names.
Well, I
who's your next guest whose time we're infringing on?
Seth Merrow.
Oh, who cares about him?
Why are you like this? He's sitting listening. Now you're going to have to apologize to Seth.
I love Seth.
I know you do. Everybody loves
Seth. One of my favorite people at the racetrack. He's a lovely person.
Yes, he is. He's the greatest. Here we go.
Is he still living in his car?
It looks like it. If you've never.
All right, I will go because I don't want to take any more of Seth's time.
There you go. Well, tis the law, by the way.
Tis the law. Believe me, he is the law. New York Reds, that's for sure. If not everybody else. All right. See you, man.
Andy, I appreciate it. Welcome home.
Pleasure was all mine. Take care.
Andy Serling, folks, we'll take our last break. Seth Merrow is going to join us next to close out Wednesday. And, boy, it's a good thing we're not racing here today because we'd be off the turf again. Thunderstorms rolling in. Well, it got dark here in a rank hurry. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
We're back at the races about 15 minutes to noon. Heavy weather rolling in. So if Seth Merrow was going to spend the afternoon by the pool, it's not happening. Good morning.
Good morning. Now Andy is saying more music. He wants more music for my segment, I'm sure.
Not true. Not true.
No, I had Andy on. I finally dragged him over and had him on my show maybe a week or so ago. But I did laugh with the car. I hadn't realized you park next to my car every day when on the set. So I have the rod in the back and I have the sport coats hung up and I have a few ties in the back seat. I didn't realize Andy was. I didn't realize anybody else was aware. But maybe we've talked about it enough. But now it's becoming a thing. Maybe I have to clean it out.
Well, after everybody saw the police blotter note, that you explained to everybody, when state troopers are commenting on it now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's right. When I got stopped at the checkpoint, the beginning of this, I forgot about that. And for folks who don't remember, it was one of those sobriety checkpoints. I drove right through. But he said, where are you going or where are you coming from? And then he looked and said, wow, a lot of clothes. and then it was good night, sir, get home safe. So I did not, there was no ticket involved or anything. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, okay. So I will have to put a little cleaning in now that summer's over. But, yeah, no up sitting by the pool today. I was going to do my my main trip, but the weather looked a little dicey. And then my sister called, and she and her husband are going to get the same VRBO that we had at the beginning of the summer in a couple of weeks. So that's the game plan.
Very nice. Well, our fall agenda is starting to fill in, too, and I hope to get down to Belmont, you know, more than a few times, and we have to wait and see what's going to happen when it comes to October, whether the construction, they're going to gauge the construction situation and then go from there. I mean, if they can run the whole Belmont meet at Belmont, they will. If they have to move over to Aqueduct early, they'll do that. So we'll know as it unfolds. Meanwhile, Seth, some end of season thoughts. We were at the doorstep on Sunday morning. We had a really fun visit with Jimmy Jerkins and with Charlotte Weber. That was a great way to end our season. But then the racing Sunday and Monday put a bow on Saratoga 19.
Yeah, just to go back to the show, it was another great season of Loose on the Lead. Thanks for coming over on the Sunday mornings that were available. We missed a couple. I said, as the meet ended, I was thanking people, and I thanked you on my last show and said, man, you powered through because after the surgery, you only missed a couple of shows. Unfortunately, you missed a visit from Bob Baffert after the Whitney, and also I know you would have certainly enjoyed the annual visit from the Matisse brothers, but we had, as you say, the last show and throughout lots of great guests. Early on, before you took the break, Randy Hill and Dean Reeves, they were great after their big win with Tex and the Jim Dandy. And so it was a nice season, lots of great guests. Hopefully people caught it live or via the Capital OTV YouTube channel. Can still pull up the archives. But overall, you know, I heard Andy talking, and I think the weather was a story. There's no denying there. The first part of the meet, there was that funny weather. There was the heat-related cancellation on a Saturday. There was the half a card that was canceled because of a kind of a biblical proportion rainstorm. But then the last couple of weeks, other than closing day, the last couple of weeks were really beautiful. I mean, the humidity kind of blew out and sunny most days. It was just a perfect way to kind of end the meet weather-wise. But again, weather was a kind of a story that the meet had to plug itself on overall. But beyond that, and I said it when I walked out of the winner's circle on Whitney Day, I said, you know, the weather has been kind of funny, but the racing on the, certainly on the high end, on the stakes end, has lived up to its billing. And that was Whitney Day, and it continued throughout. Travers Day this past weekend, the horses that came in with big stories and hype and talent lived up to it for the most part. Matoli on the bounce back and McKinsey and the Whitney. Travers win by Code of Honor kind of validated what we saw from him in the Dwyer and put him in the thick of the Eclipse picture. Come Dancing for Carlos Martin looked very good. You can go down a list, again, of horses who came in with storylines and talent and lived up to it. Oh, and they had a great list on the Fox MSG broadcast. I think it was the last day they were doing, or maybe it was the last weekend, or maybe it was Sunday. But whichever day it was, they went through the top 10 races of the meet. And before they got to number one, you knew that Midnight Bijou and Elate would be number one. Sure enough, it was. And that clearly was also a highlight of the meet. So again, for me, the weather was a subheading, I guess, beyond what I thought was the exclamation point of the meet, and that was just the stakes racing, which, as the year plays out, presumably we'll see. We will have seen a few Breeders' Cup winners up at Saratoga, and we will certainly have seen some Eclipse winners at Saratoga.
Oh, certainly, no doubt. And you know, even the horses that, particularly 2-year-olds, that, you know, that didn't win, but, you know, made debuts at the highest level. And, you know, in the case of some outfits, you know, might head into, you know, slightly softer spots. They might be dirtied up. They might have had trips that are obscured. You know, one of the real opportunities, and you can fold in, Seth, and I didn't bring this up with Andy, I probably should have, but the days where there was the pronounced dead rail. And even if you don't believe that there was a fully dead rail, and if you don't believe that it was dead for, you know, a good portion of the meet, you certainly wouldn't argue that the inside was not the place to be many, many times. And in fact, you know, Andy's got those trip notes that are at the NYRA website that I would suggest people go and look at and make a note and then go back and look at your charts and go back to the, you know, the race days and go mine for gold. Go find some horses that were not in the right part of the track, and they're going to go to Keeneland or Churchill or Laurel or whatever, and they're going to come back and they're going to win at square prices.
That ties in, too, to the two-year-old conversation we're having, because I think right. You could make that argument for the day. Tap it to win one, sneaking up the rail.
Well, and Tap it to win may just be, you know, he may be exceptional. I mean,
I think that validates that he was exceptional kind of going against that. And he was certainly one of those nice two-year-olds. And you were mentioning Tis the Law, the Sacatoga horse. I had Jack Knowlton on a week or so ago, and they said came out of a little ding, a little ankle or a little shin issue, but not enough to really delay things. It was just going to the Champagne as opposed to going to the Bonguard. And the Bonguard is kind of the funny side mode. Funny side
yes,
broke the maiden early in the Belmont meet his year and then won the Bonguard. So they're going to kind of take that trip with Tis the Law, who, yeah, was another phenomenal-looking two-year-old. Three Techniques, who you guys mentioned earlier. That, when I got to the hopeful on closing
Basin.
Day,
Basin.
Yep. Was flattered by Three Techniques. And so I had Basin down a little bit in the mix and moved him up on the performance by Three Techniques. I had Jeremiah on closing day. It's worth mentioning it's a really good season he had, particularly with the two-year-olds. And I asked him, you still have some you haven't unleashed yet, to maybe we should pay attention to Belmont. And he listed off three or four that'll debut down at Belmont as well.
Well, and by the way, I'm just, for those that heard me just reference it, and I should have brought it up with Andy too, Track Trends is what the section is called on the drop-down menu. You won't see the Saratoga results on the Belmont website. And, of course, when you hit NYRA.com, now it's going to take you to Belmont. But if you go to Saratoga, you know, up in that upper left-hand corner, you drop down, and it gives you Aqueduct, Belmont, Saratoga. Go back to the Saratoga section of NYRA.com, NYRA.com/Saratoga/racing/track-trends. Or just do NYRA Track Trends in a search, and you'll get to this. And Andy has made notes on each day's racing and what part of the track was advantageous or disadvantageous. And go through that. Go through your charts. I mean, I've got even though I was, you know, sidelined for the middle portion of the meet, I've got all the PPs. I've got all the charts attached to the PPs. And you fish through and you dig out races and put them aside, put those horses into your stable mail, and that way when they run back, you're prepared to capitalize. And this is how, you know, whether you made money, whether you broke even, whether you lost, this is the way you go forward from a meet like Saratoga, where there's, you know, there's just a treasure trove of information, and there's horses that are going to, you know, get back into softer company, and they're going to be bets. There's going to be horses that, you know, a horse like that Kelly Rubley winner, that Arafana that we talked about with her yesterday, Seth. You know, there's a horse now, you know, two for two, and who knows how good that horse might be and you know, where it turns up next. But, you know, that's what you need to do coming out of a meet like Saratoga and Del Mar.
Yeah, particularly because it's so two-year-old focused, that certainly plays into it as well. And the two-year-olds had a good season, but as always with the two-year-olds, they can improve markedly and start number two or start number three with some experience under the belt. And then you add in some of those track trends, and they'll point to a few of those that will not only be worth watching, but will add some value as well.
Well, I don't know if you did anything for your action today, but Colonial's running and Indiana. We just talked a little bit ago to Bill Downs. You like anything today?
Yeah, I didn't look today. I am in complete
so lazy.
R&R. Well, wouldn't this you say that? But if you hadn't had the surgery, wouldn't this be your week off too?
No.
Oh
no!
You
I power right on. I get 2 weeks off a year. I get that week at the end of June, and I get Christmas to New Year's. Those are my weeks off. And by the way, I like how you reference me with the show that I took off those couple of weeks. Yeah, it was a delight.
I think everybody is aware it was a grammatical.
I took off.
I think everybody is aware of the situation.
Andy,
think you were home drinking lemonade. Let me make that clear.
I was
very sympathetic to the situation, particularly after having run into people at the track who kind of had gone through the similar thing. I thought the rehab was probably worse than the surgery.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm heading today. I am back driving a car. So,
go.
Get off the road, everybody.
Because
yeah, exactly, exactly. It's Crash McDuff out there. Crash Craddock. I got an appointment today at 3:00 to. We'll see what the surgeon says. The bubble keeps dropping, going down. So I've got more and more of a, you know, less obscured view out the eye. It's amazing. It's 5 weeks, and my eye, the socket, my eyebrow, it's still sore. It's still purplish, black and blue, from 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, hey, had surgery. It'll all heal up though. You'll be as good as new, maybe better.
Well, that's kind of you to say. Seth Merrow, everybody, the face of GoTV. Another fabulous year. He puts up with me. How he does it, no one knows.
Yeah, it's always good for a few laughs during the season, right?
Yes, it is. There's no better sport than Seth Merrow. And for Seth and Andy and Bill Downs, Sid Fernando, and Jay Pridman, there's your Wednesday get-together. Reminder about the action today, Colonial, and particularly in Indiana, those two great stakes this afternoon, 5:30 and just before 6:00. Should be good. Back with you tomorrow, Thursday, Haskin. It's Tony Black's birthday. Wish Tony a happy birthday. Thanks to Deja. Everybody stay safe in the path of the hurricane. Talk to you in the morning.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.